Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Favor, sitting in with my buddy Captain Scott Shank.
That's me.
That is you.
Not awake, kind of worn out.
No, I'm good. Now, I will tell you this about that. Did my charter today. It got shortened a little bit from some seasickness.
Yep.
Okay, not by me. But so I came home, man. I was going to chill and hang out with Macy and my wife. And my lawnmower about 2 weeks ago went out on
me. Yeah.
So I haven't gotten it back yet. And
your grass is getting a little ugly out there. I'm just letting you know.
So Carrie's like, yeah, look, we're a little spooked to walk in the backyard, so guess who push mowed a half acre?
Did you really?
I did.
Ooh, I'd like pictures of that.
I did.
Wow.
I got out there, and I'm like, all right, so I did the backyard
okay. This
afternoon.
Got your exercise in,
I did. It was
home for brunch, for God's sakes. You left out there at 9:30.
I did. I absolutely did.
When you called me and said, I'm going in, I went, dang, where's he going? I said, are you going in on the beach?
You going in?
On the beach? In. I went, oh, okay.
Yep. It was, it's been a great week. Tuesday and Wednesday, the ocean was like, oh my God, mm-hmm. a lake. I mean, mm-hmm. literally, and the fish bit. Well, actually, I'll say that. Wednesday, I struggled a little bit. I ended up having a good day, but like, I was on plan D, mm-hmm. you know? A and B were not so good. C was a shot in the dark. D was definitely a shot in the dark, but I caught some fish. Ended up catching a cobia, nice cobia. So, yeah, it ended up fine.
I caught a blackfin on Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
Really nice little fish. My mm-hmm. first strike of the morning. Boy, that thing went straight due east, and I was just, it's like almost beach fishing.
Uh-huh.
You're watching that line go, ying, 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 yeah. and you're going, uh-oh. Y'all better hurry it up. Let's go. Get this stuff up.
Yep.
So,
it's today, it's so interesting fishing every day like we do this time of year. Because, you know, I get up early in the morning, and I look at the wind direction and this, that, and the other. And I'm going, man, we're going to have another beautiful day. And as I'm going to the ramp, I've got a stripper buddy, Captain Lee, and he's down at Flagler, and he texts me and said, it's a little rolly out here today. And I went,
and that's an 80-foot shrimp boat or 70-foot
boat. Yeah, so. Exactly. And he said, it's pretty, but it's rolly. And I went, oh, we'll be all right. Just be a swell, you know. And you and I turned to go out the inlet, and there's these giant line of storms offshore. I mean, it's so cool to see that. I'm
it is.
Sorry.
My guys were all like, dude, look at that.
Yeah.
Are we going to get wet? I said, I doubt it. They're probably going to fizzle out, but it's going to be here all morning.
Right. And obviously, wherever those storms were, which is not that far. How far? We were 6-7 miles offshore. How much further out were
they? I bet you they were 30, 40 miles out.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, that's what I think, too. But they created a lot of swell.
And real short and real steep.
Ah. Man, there are a couple, I would say four times.
I got
my teeth rattled.
Yeah, my teeth rattled back.
Yeah.
You know, the quinge on your back, even though you're sitting.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a few of them were, like, good ones, like 5-6 footer. I mean, big ones.
Yeah, absolutely. I did not expect that today.
Did not expect it either.
Yeah. And,
because I wouldn't have gone.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't have. I know you. But the funny thing was is that I had a ring power trip. And, you know, most of the time I always know the guys that set it up.
Yep.
You know, they work for Ring Power. They've been fishing with me for years. I don't know the guys a lot of times that we're taking. And so they showed up. Great guys. They're always good people. Always. And as we're idling out of Comanche Cove, they're like, you know, what are we going to fish for? And I said, we're going to bump offshore. And we already had bait. You and I had caught bait. And he's like, oh, we're going offshore? You know, with that, you know.
That hesitation or the quizzical question?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. So now you're like, oh, yeah, you know, it's fine, you know. He goes,
yesterday was Lake Atlantic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, Lee just sent me a text saying, it's a little rolly out here. And he's like, well, the last time I went out, it was a little rolly. And he said, I got seasick. And I went, you'd be fine. You're good. Don't worry about it, brother. You know, you're trying to give him the words of encouragement. You know, you didn't need a sausage biscuit, baby, this morning, did you?
Yeah. A side of hash browns. Yeah, that wasn't going over
exactly.
too well.
And an egg over easy or something, you know.
Dude, I'm telling you, I felt it.
Uh-huh.
When we got to Arbitrazi's dock, our old tarpon dock and stuff like that, when you already are getting that pitching kind of roll in the intercoastal and it's not, you're pretty much in trouble.
Yeah. So you and I went out the North Cut.
We like, did, side by side.
You know, here I've convinced this guy, you're going to be fine. And I'm like, holy shnikes.
I looked at my right and I went, damn, those are head high right here coming at us.
Yeah.
And I hit a couple of them.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a couple teeth burners.
Yeah. So anyway, we made it to our spot.
We did.
Pretty much, not immediately. We had to troll around to find some fish, and when we did, we found them, and we caught six or seven. I don't know. We kept three, and I let three or four more go, and I, poor David Ballard, Captain David Ballard. I looked. He was right behind me, and he had four guys on his boat, and three of them were hanging over the side.
Oh yeah. Oh no. They were like bad chumming.
Bad off. Yep. I mean, like, give me a pistol, and I'm just going to put myself out of my... I mean, seriously.
Or there was fixing to become a mutiny.
Give me the boat. Yeah. Yeah. And then...
I'll show you where West is.
Yeah. And then my guy said, I ain't feeling so good either, Cap. And I said, you want to go in? He goes, well, I don't want to spoil the trip. I went, enough said. I said, there's no reason for you to get sick.
No, and that's why I tell all mine. If you're not...
Right.
I mean...
If you're not enjoying it...
I'm a passionate person. I'm not going to sit there, you know, as soon as I hit the dock and have my hand out, go, you know, you just take care of my fuel for the day. I get you.
Yeah.
You know, I get it.
Yeah. So I was like, I understand, but I said, I've been seasick.
Yep.
And it ain't no fun. And I've had enough people on my boat to get seasick. And as a matter of fact.
I've got one. It was an 11-year-old kid I had the other day.
And
it wasn't that bad.
I've had a lot of seasickness this year.
Yeah, see, I haven't.
A lot.
I mean, but I half the time I've spent out there in view, but I'm just saying I'm pretty fortunate. I don't get too many of them.
Well, I can tell you that
David Ballard had them today.
Oh, my word, dude. Those poor guys. And I'll tell you, 2 days ago, or Guy Spear.
Yeah.
He had one on his boat, dude.
I mean, projectile.
It's just when you look at a guy that's hanging halfway over the
he had that big tent hat on. He could just see him laying.
Yes.
You could just see him laying on the gunwale of Guy's boat.
Felt
and all of a sudden,
so
you see him get up and it was like,
bad.
Oh,
felt so bad for him, man.
I think Guy caught one or two, and he pulled the plug, too.
Yeah, he pulled the plug, too. So, anyway.
Seasickness sucks. There's nothing you can do about it.
No, there isn't. There isn't. And people try to gut it out, and God bless them. But it's a tough thing to gut out, and it's so funny. You get them back to shore, and they go to have lunch.
Dude, that 11-year-old kid grabbed a bologna and cheese sandwich. As soon as that foot hit that dock, and you know, Mama got the everything out of my cooler or whatever.
Yeah. He's like, man,
dude, he looked like a cookie monster.
Yep,
going at it.
Big event, probably one of the biggest. Yeah, exactly.
Nothing in his stomach.
We got the old school Kingfish Shootout coming up on Saturday, something that we've looked forward to since January, when we knew what the date was going to be and had no idea that it would be this big.
This is like old days in the 1980s in the Jacksonville Kingfish tournament.
It is. It is. It will
Greater
be
Jacks.
It will be the biggest tournament, and especially Kingfish tournament. It'll be the biggest tournament. I'm trying to think of when the last time we had a tournament with 600 boats.
I mean, like I said, it's probably mid to late 80s.
Yeah. 600 boats. It's going to be awesome.
Dude, it's going to be so much. And folks, if you are looking for a charter captain on Saturday, good luck, because we're all fishing.
Yeah.
We even talked Captain Kirk Waltz into it. So I'm just telling you,
exactly.
To talk him to coming out of retirement to tournament fish, I can promise you, you're not going to find one.
It's an awesome concept.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun.
I talked to Paul Dozier about this. He's,
how many boats?
He said it'll be pushing 600.
Okay.
Yep. And you know, this was his idea. But Paul and I came up in the same era of beach fishing. You know, when you fished the Greater Jacks in the 80s, we didn't, people don't understand. There was no such thing as slow trolling.
No, it was
we didn't understand anything about slow trolling. Mm-hmm. We drifted. And we chummed. I mean,
balloons.
I mean, you had all kinds of crazy stuff that you did.
God forbid, if you cut through my chum line, me and you was going
to
fight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, so you would have 1,000 boats in that tournament. And again, we didn't know anything about Elton Bottom and Flagler Bottom. Our perception was all the big fish are on the beach.
Right.
That's, you go offshore to catch the snakes. And you fish the beach for the big ones.
It's about 50-50 nowadays. 50% of the time it comes off the beach, 50% of the time it comes from offshore.
Totally disagree. It's 90. It's
really?
Absolutely. When's the last time you heard of a winning fish on the beach?
No, you're right.
When?
It was whenever Bob the whaler or whatever, when the last time he
went to Ancient City. Yeah.
In the Ancient City, whatever that was.
Yeah.
8 years ago, 9 years ago, I guess. You're right.
The Traveler.
The Traveler. Bob the Traveler.
Yeah. Seriously, now that these guys have learned these big boats, but that's the reason for this tournament.
It's not really specifically made for big boats, this tournament. If
no.
you want to fish, they're more than welcome to.
Absolutely.
But it only goes from Fernandina Beach down to New Smyrna.
Daytona. New Smyrna, south of Daytona.
Okay.
Yeah, Ponce.
Ponce.
Yeah. So it's an unbelievable, and 3 miles out.
And 3 miles out.
And 3 miles out. They can't go any further than 3 miles out. You can go as far as north-south as you want, but you can't go any further.
Dude, we hold plenty of fuel to do that. We can
absolutely.
Go we want.
Yeah.
It's so, the first time we can actually say we can go anywhere we want.
Yeah. It's gonna be fun. Can't wait. Fishing with my buddy James Schulte, and we're fishing tomorrow. I'm not going to call it pre-fishing. It's just a matter of kind of going out and checking things out. You and I, we get texts. For the last week, hey, what's going on the beach? Look, we have no idea. Honest to goodness, I haven't fished the beach. I haven't been. I ran in behind a shrimp boat one day this week looking for tarpon. But I have. I did. I take that back. One day.
No, you spent
Travis,
an hour on the beach
I did,
with Travis.
On Tuesday with Travis Tuesday, and Doug. Yeah. I
yep,
did. I spent,
did.
An hour,
spent an hour
and I didn't get a bite.
Right.
You know, so look.
And not only that, dudes, we're also fishing for the money. So you actually think we're going to tell you where we're catching fish at? I mean, are you serious? You're damn lucky you get a text from me to tell you where the bait's at, much less tell you where I'm catching fish at.
641-1010. You listen to the Mo Southwest Grill Fish Forecast. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Faber. Sitting with Captain Scott Shank, and hey, and just real quick on the tire outlet thing.
Yes.
You know, again, when I talk about this, people seriously still asking me. Really, they come to your house to change your tires. I'm like, yeah, it's mobile. Call Tire Outlet. Make an appointment. Pick out your tires, and they come to your house and change your tires.
I got to do that because I still
talk. Yeah, I mean, I talk about it every week.
I just got to get a slow time.
Yeah. No Captain Leon Dana. this evening?
No. He's got a hot date. Date night tonight.
Yeah, he's got date night.
Hadn't seen her in a couple weeks, he said. So yeah. He might call in, he might not.
I was like, dude, you're good.
Don't. It's all good.
You're
good. Don't need you.
But I did talk to him about the inshore bite. And would you just say it's typical summer?
Typical summer and lack of some species of fish.
Mm-hmm.
Others are starting to take over, meaning very few flounder. And I'm still really surprised. I mean, all the stuff that I've been fishing flounders for and stuff like that, that I consider because of our tides this week, you're not really fishing runouts. I like, believe it or not, runouts to be higher and water just being high tide, water just started to recede when I fish runouts. That's just the way I like to fish them. Figure that the bait's coming out, fish stationary, they're there to where it's almost like on the beach at low tide. When a run out on the beach, it kind of sort of ends, you know, where if you fish it on a first of an outgo, your stretch of water is a lot longer. That's the way that's just me. I might be wrong.
But you don't fish that way on docks.
No, that's what that's my next story. All the docks that I've been fishing that always predominantly hold my flounder and around the bridges and stuff like that, I mean, they're not there. They're not there. I mean, I had two the other day. Had a couple of redfish. I had mangoes starting to bite. I had three, 12, 13-inch mangoes. They were decent fish.
Did you catch very many more mangoes?
Yeah. I had about six or seven more.
Okay.
Or shorts.
Well, that's fine. That's what I'm asking, because last year it was non-existent.
Right.
Almost.
I mean, they were legal, but, I mean, a 10-inch mangoes, there's just not, it's not, it doesn't, I don't like cleaning.
Yeah, I get it.
I mean, he's legal at 10 inches. I want him
If you did keep him at 10 inches, scale him and head him.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And cook him just like a brim or a speckled perch or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
That was my point.
Let him swim. Let him grow up a little bit more. We're okay. But, I mean, caught a few of those.
I heard the mangrove bite offshore has been.
Oh, my gosh. The legendary has been actually just incredible.
Yeah.
Captain Brian Middleton. Work with him for many years. If there's somebody that knows how to catch a mango, it's Brian.
Mangrove.
Yeah. We call it mangoes.
Yeah.
Mango. Anyhow, if there's anybody that knows how to do it, it's definitely him. Brian is really good at that.
He's done it forever.
And
is that a nighttime charter?
The first catch was during the day, and then he went back out on a nighttime charter on the full moon, and that's when they really, really whacked him.
Okay.
Yeah, because they come up in the water. They get stupid.
Yeah.
And then you just flatline them with like an 8-ounce lead, 4-aught hook.
That sounds like fun.
Dude, shrimp? No.
A squid?
No. There's a couple. It gets technical when you start doing that.
Right.
Like before, you catch like a bunch of grunts.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they want the head of the grunt.
Okay.
And you step on it. You want it like mushy to where when they attack it, they ease off with it. Secondly, is just taking like cut the head of the fish off and just cut the back strap out of it totally.
Right.
And then fan the fin out and leave the fin there with it. A great bait there. And if you get them on top, though, usually we'll take cigar minnows or sardines, more sardines than cigar minnows.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll basically only use 2-inch piece.
I got you.
And you'll bury like a 3-aught hook in it.
Uh-huh.
And you'll stuff the lead in its mouth. Okay. And it's just a way to, you want to hide as much as you can because they do. They have really awesome eyesight.
Yeah.
They're
finicky.
Long leaders, you know, even though you're flatlining, you're probably got 25 to 30 foot of fluorocarbon and then to your main line. You could do it both ways.
It's kind of medium tackle.
No. Because it depends on how they go straight to the bottom. They're just like catching yellowtails in a
cage. Yeah, but I mean, they don't get any bigger than 10 pounds, right?
Yeah. But the pull strength of them, just like a regular red snapper, is pretty incredible. So, I mean, usually you're fishing like 30-pound fluorocarbon. Don't like braid because braid lays on top of the water, won't sink. You want, as we're chumming, because these guys usually, whenever they do it, they're carrying 100, 150 pounds of pogies or some kind of chum, and the mate's right there cutting the whole time. Not a bunch. I mean, to beginning, when they full pull up to a spot, he'll take like a double handful and put it in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then just every now and again, we'll just throw in like 5 or 6 pieces, let them get all comfortable and stuff like that. You might not fish for 40 minutes till you get those fish
right.
comfortable.
Oh, I got you. I got okay. you. So you're saying you're not even putting the line
you're
in the
You're not putting
water.
Lines in the water.
You're just
I
trying
mean,
to get them
you're
to
just trying
the
to get them to come up to the surface and stuff like that at nighttime and make them and get them to fire off. Another way, too, I mean, you take the tail section of it and you put the V of the tail towards the hook hook eye and kind of go backwards, but where it would lay flat because it'll seesaw its way down almost like a piece of chum. Another trick to do. But really, like, no, I've never caught them on bonitas and stuff like that. A lot of guys, it depends on the current and all that. A great way during the day. Now, your daytime bite, you'll sometimes get them up in the water today, but they're a little bit more line, weary, savvy, and stuff
right.
like that. So the best way to do it when you go then is do the same thing. You're using like 20 foot of fluorocarbon, 30-pound test or whatever. You're going to lose your groupers or whatever that bites you on down there. And, again, the same thing with sardines and stuff like that. But you're using whatever lead will hit the bottom where you can walk it back. Meaning it's basically conventional reels, you know, high-speed reels, jigging rods nowadays with the new jigging rods coming out that are so light, 200-pound rods and all that, fine. I mean, we used to do it, you know, the old Sam Scott rods, you know, 8-foot, you know, 4-aughts, maybe 6s.
Sure.
And, again, I mean, it can range anywhere between 4 and 10 ounces of lead, depending on the depth and the current. And you basically leave your bail open. You just keep your thumb on the conventional reel, on the pen or whatever you're fishing.
So let me ask you this. Daytime, this time of year, do they mark up like B-liners?
No, they're going to be on the bottom.
They are going to be on the bottom. Mm-hmm. So it's a total bottom thing during the day.
And as you chum, you'll pull up to what we have, the mangrove spots.
Right.
And as you chum, you just watch. You watch the whole ocean rise.
Okay. That's
and
cool.
usually like your bar jacks and your,
I mean, I've
and
never
your
done
junk
it.
And your junk comes first.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to go through a little bit of that. But then eventually, you know, a good set of lights, you know, on,
yeah,
you know, that comes down. And they'll usually start way back. You know, you'll see action on top of the water if it's a pretty night and stuff like that where you can see. And, of course, red shows up in the water column as white.
Red shows up in the water column
as white.
Okay.
So as you look out in the water, you'll see, you won't see a brick red fish back there. You'll see a white flash. Come up and go back down real quick. That's
man. I've had a couple trips this week when I've gone over my spot and thrown, you know, you throw your pogies out. The red snapper.
I know.
Oh my! I'm talking like 20 pounders, man.
I know.
Up there just punishing those pogies. It's so cool.
But they got they opened us for 4 days, folks. If you all haven't heard.
Yeah.
I mean, we got 4 days. 11th, 12th, 13th, and the 17th. Am I close?
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm not doing anything.
No.
I'm on a couch.
No.
I applaud and appreciate them at least giving the people what they want, and they just want to go out and catch one. I just wish they would break it up a little bit more. I just think that's so dangerous doing that.
Oh yeah,
like they are.
Yeah. It's not the right way to do it. But we're not
here to decide. So anyhow,
no, moving on.
But anyhow,
no. But it's still cool watching them.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I watch it. When you throw those pogies out and they come off that bottom. Oh,
and when they come top of water.
They're aggressive, man.
I mean, it's like a bass sucking a top water plug. I mean, you just and yeah. you just watch that pogie just appear with a big old – and you see the tail splashing as he's going back down.
There was a spot that I fished yesterday because, like I said, I kind of struggled the first couple spots.
Yep.
And my spot, it's a little mark. I mean, I don't catch very many snapper there. I do catch a few, catch flounder there, but I catch kingfish there. And I went over, had downrigger down at 35 feet, at 60 feet. Downrigger goes off, and, you know, guy grabs a rod, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching him fighting, and I'm going, that's on the bottom, you know. So I was like, okay. So I pulled it up to 20 feet, tied me a new rig on, went around, rod goes off. I'm like, oh, man, I did it a third time. And I was like, guys, we got to go. Yeah, we got to go. I mean, there's nothing you could do on kingfish tackle when they get like that, you know?
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's go talk to Tom.
Let's talk to Tom. We'll see what he wants. I got to tell you something. Yeah.
What's up, Tom?
Hey, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking the call.
Sure, man.
Just quick question from Southwest Florida. So we didn't do it a lot down there, but I was wondering what the best way to, I guess, the etiquette to fish the shrimpers.
The shrimp boats. That's a
great question.
Yeah, and listen, there's a couple different scenarios. Scott and I have we fish shrimp boats. First off, you don't have to get in there underneath the stern, all right? And sure. And if there's somebody already there, another boat, you know, there's going to be and this happened to me this week. There's going to be plenty of room once the chum gets spread out. It's kind of like, you know, you get on one end and somebody get on
literally
the other.
Literally a quarter
end.
Mile, half a mile apart. I mean, literally.
Yeah, not a half a mile, no. But you know, you'll be, you know, 300-400 yards apart.
Okay.
And you know, again, it just you always have to keep the shrimpers in mind. You know what I mean? I mean, it's yeah, you know, there's just no need, because honestly, if the fish are really fired up, yeah, whenever they're shoveling over, the fish come up in there and they eat it all. But for the most part, Tom, once it kind of gets out there, the bycatch, and it's spreading out, and you know, that's the time to fish that chum slick. It's not so much, and again, look, we know guys that get up in there and they aggravate shrimpers, I mean, a lot, and it aggravates me that they do that. But for the most part, if you'll just hang out, what are you going to say, 40 yards behind the nets?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you'll be fine.
And most of the shrimpers are pretty cool when they know, especially when it's like us pulling up, depending on what's behind them, okay? Because usually like your bonitas and all that is going to be like right off the stern when he starts dumping.
Right.
So he might come to rest and hang out for 20 or 30 minutes and let the boats come in there and play with the bonitas or catch a shark on a fly rod or whatever, you know, because they're right there at the stern of the boat. But like Kevin's saying, everything's going to back away from it. Once he picks up and starts moving, the tarpon don't like all that, especially tarpon fishing. I agree. They don't want all that prop wash from him to feed. I mean, they're going to be away from him.
When you fish behind a shrimp boat, Tom, what are you fishing for?
I want to target tarpon behind them when they start coming in a little stronger.
Okay, and I'm just curious. Your etiquette question is: if there's another boat there, or are you worried about the shrimper?
Just the shrimper. I don't want to get on them too close, and you know, the proper time to move in on them, and you know, just the setup on them. You know, I don't want to. Obviously, I don't know how far back the net goes in turn, so I don't want to, you know, A, get too close to them, and B, you know, waste my time if they're dragging their net. I don't know the tarpon behind them, so this is new to me as far as fishing tarpon behind them.
Yeah, and I hate to teach you because, but seriously, where those riggers are, again, you know, if you'll stay back, I'm just going to say, you know, 40 yards, you're fine.
Clear of the nets.
Yeah, you're clear of the nets.
All righty, well, I appreciate it, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, man.
And then if like a boat's working them, like if a boat's seeing it and they're working it, don't pull up on the same fish. He's been sitting there timing that fish.
Yeah.
Watching how he's gulping.
Yeah.
You know, go find your own. Don't come.
Or like I said, if there's somebody sitting there waiting for them to dump over, there's plenty of room. There's going to be plenty of bait, you know. And here's the other thing. There's going to be a lot of times, just like this happened to me this week. I was fishing right next to a good buddy of ours, Robbie Nettles.
Mm-hmm.
And a fish came underneath my boat and was feeding towards his boat, and I didn't have time. I'm like, Robbie, coming right at you. You know. So
sure.
It's all cool stuff. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Tom. See you. Yeah, that's right up our alley.
Heck yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Boy,
yep.
He put what do you? Not yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday because I was in shore. He came up to me. He put five in the air and caught one.
Yeah, yeah. He sent me some pictures.
Yeah,
sure did. 641-1010, 641-1010. Give us a call right here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. every Thursday night, 7 to 8. You can listen to Captain Kevin Favor and myself. We'll kind of help you out and hopefully teach you a couple things.
Yeah.
If not, just have a laugh.
Yep.
We're going to do weather. We got Chip coming up. Yep. But let's go talk to Bobby real quick. He's got a question for us. Evening, Bobby.
Good evening. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, buddy.
Wonderful, sir.
Hey, I called you a couple times years ago, but I'm pretty nervous, so I'll apologize for that. My question is, speckled trout downtown at night under the light, is there too much rain, too much fresh water, or
no.
Can something bad?
Hold on, Bobby. We're going to have Captain Chip Wingo coming up, and he can answer that question a lot better than we can because that's his territory.
Yes, sir.
All right, so keep listening, all right?
Just listen. He'll tell you everything we need
to know. Yes, sir.
All right, Bobby. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, man.
Chippy!
Let's go. Yeah, let's go talk to Captain Chip Wingo. See if he heard. Did you hear that question?
I could barely hear.
Okay, all right. So the question, Bobby's question was, downtown trout fishing at nighttime, this time of year obviously is good, but his question was, has this rain affected that fishery?
No, it's not affected it at all.
Okay, all right.
There's plenty of salinity, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, you know that area. I mean, I don't know that area at all. I mean, so that's why I kind of referred that to you, Chip.
One of the things he can do, too, is, you know, Leon and I both have the salinity little testers, but it hasn't really. The river is so big, and there's so much volume of water, it takes a lot to really change it. And a lot of those trout go all the way up to Green Cove and pass, so it doesn't seem to affect them. You know, but there's been a lot of guys catching some really nice trout lately. So,
and it's fun. It's just hard for me and you when we don't have eyesight anymore. I can't tie a lure. I mean, I can't tie anything on or anything. But it's fun fishing lights.
No,
just tie by braille.
I mean, seriously. I think Scott and I were sitting here. We were like comparing calluses from all the rigs that we've been tying for the tackle company. You know. Mm-hmm. I think I can tie stuff at nighttime now by not seeing it. I really
do. Oh, no, it's by feel now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, kingfish rigs are nothing, dude. It's just like, it's all by feel.
Yeah.
Every now and again, you get pricked by a hook, but I mean, you know, the net, you're fine.
Speaking of, real quick, Chip, kingfish rigs, Captain Choice tackle stuff. I know we got a bunch of stuff in Strike Zone.
That's Strike Zone. Go ahead, Strike Zone. And I just filled up Oldest City this evening.
For
everybody fishing the tournament.
Yep.
Got plenty of number sixes and number fours on 40-pound wire. The bait shack also called me, and you actually delivered them for me this morning.
Yeah, which is at the ramp, the Volano ramp.
At the Volano ramp. She's got plenty of them, too. So just if you're interested, that's where they're at.
And then also at Hagen Ace.
At Hagen Ace
in Green Coast Springs. Yeah.
Got them, too. So
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Plug right there.
Yeah, well, if people want to buy kingfish rigs, you got a place to go. Because let me tell you, Chip, hardware right now, hooks, wire, swivels, it's tough to come by,
bro. It's at a prime right now, buddy. Yeah. Kevin was at the house last night, Macy, and we all went swimming and stuff.
Yeah.
And I called mine, which is Eagle Claw Tackle is what I deal with. And, dude, the guy kept telling me no, no, no. I think I gave him a list of like 9 different hook sizes. I think 7 of them were no.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been shut down.
Yep.
And they ran out.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah.
So
it's funny, Chip. I don't mean
bless
to.
You guys.
But no, I was I'm fishing with my buddy James Schulte. And James fished kingfish tournaments for years. Years and years. Sold his boat this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I texted him today. I was like, bro, anything you got, bring it. You know,
I really don't want to use my rig.
Well, I'm just saying that if he's got a box full of trebles and this, that, and the other that he's no longer going to use, you know, bring it to me.
Because if not you, me, or Captain's Choice will definitely take it.
Absolutely.
Captain's Choice is a little low right now.
So,
that's awesome.
It's good stuff. You been fishing?
Oh, yeah, every day.
Good.
Yep, every day. Today, Kevin, there are so many tarpon in the ICW right now. It's unbelievable. We jumped one today, but they're the little 40-pounders.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're everywhere, and they're on the top of the tide. And if you've got a spot in the intercoastal where you have an upwell, you know, where you've got that little peak that comes up out of a hole, you'll find mm-hmm. them all over it right now. And I was just amazed at how many tarpon I saw today.
Are you trying to target them?
No, until we saw them rolling really hard. And then now I am. I'm going to start playing around and trying to target them.
Right. So, what did you have one eat today?
Shrimp. Live shrimp.
Shrimp.
On a popping cork. You know how you buy, like Scotty and I do, a million shrimp, and a lot of them start dying. I just sat there spot locked down and just started chunking shrimp while they were throwing, and then it kind of got them, I guess it pumped them up a little bit, and we had one eat, got three jumps out of it, and it took the whole rig. So it took the whole popping cork with it when it was done.
Yep.
But, it's just amazing the amount of predators that are in the ICW right now. There's so much bait around. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, it's also made the redfish bite a little tougher.
Yep.
I had redfish swim, school, little, you know, nice little schools of redfish swimming over cup mullet, crab, shrimp, just swimming right over the top of it today. Wouldn't even touch it, you know. But we caught a lot of different fish, you know. But like I said, the predators, the little jacks, ladyfish, sharks, you know, every species of sharks out there you can imagine just ripping it up right now. It's pretty cool. So,
yep.
Dude, you know, did you see that hammerhead that came up between me and you today? Did you see his fin out of the water?
I did not, but I saw a hammerhead this week that spooked me. I mean, it seriously chipped 3 to 4 foot dorsal.
Oh, yeah, my brother, wow. Was that about 3 miles off the beach?
No. I was up to the northeast.
Okay, he was coming home over the weekend, my brother, and he told me, he said, Scotty, I swear to you, he said his nose was 4 feet wide.
Yeah, this one was like 50 yards away from me, but going sideways. And Chip, you've seen plenty of hammerheads, and those, just to let folks know, too, their dorsal fins are like 2 times as long as any other dorsal
just
fin.
Just absolutely gorgeous fish.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, this joker was 3 to 4 feet out of the water, his dorsal fin.
So his hammer was all about 3 to 4 feet.
Oh, my, I was like, holy cow, look at the size of that hammerhead. But I couldn't see this. All I saw was his dorsal, you know, and he was kind of riding the waves. I was like, God almighty.
One of them big old bull sharks tried to eat a mackerel on me today.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like an airplane when he came up.
Yep.
They're good ones.
Yep, there's some.
Yeah, there's some big hammerheads love those black tips. They love to eat black tip sharks.
Really?
I was watching something on that the other day. Yeah, if you watch them, they do a lot of drone footage down in the Palm Beach area when we have the big mullet run and all the sharks come through there. You'll look at the aerials and see thousands of black tips. The hammerheads come flying in and bite the tail off of a black tip and then just devour him. You know, they cut his rudder off and then they go to town on him. But that's one of their biggest preys they have, or their biggest food source, I think, when they're running is they love eating black tip sharks.
Well, I mean, if you watch those videos, Boca Grande Pass and stuff,
those are serious sharks in there.
Seriously, Chip, I mean, 100-pound tarpon, you just think, there ain't nothing. I mean, ain't nothing gonna eat 100-pound tarpon. They eat them like snacks, which is crazy. Yep.
I mean, cut them literally right in half. I mean, think of it. 100-pound tarpon is, well, you catch an echo. What is he, 20, 25 inches wide? This way, deep?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Almost 2 foot deep.
They bought him in half.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And a hammerhead, you think with his mouth being below the hammer.
And not only that, but a hammerhead does not have a very big mouth.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point.
And they're hammering these.
I mean, he just grabs it and just one tear and it's in half.
Yeah. It's kind of spooky.
Dude, can you imagine being hooked to a tarpon and stuff and literally get, because their drags are locked down because I used to watch that Boca Grande.
Yeah, I did.
You guys
too. Yep.
And it was always fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, those drags are straight up locked down. How many tarpon jumped in people's boats? They were, you know, I mean, but Man, I mean, can you imagine getting snatched out of the chair or something when that fish makes a move? Because those tarpon do like 80 miles an hour. If that just like a kingfish, if that shark comes up, I mean, that tarpon was over here 50, you know, 60 feet away. And next thing you know, he's flying by the
way. You know, the interesting thing is, Chip, and literally I've been tarpon fishing since I was 10 years old. And I I've seen, you know, especially when we chum fished, we had the hammerheads named. I mean, seriously, Old Smoky, and you know, I mean, seriously, you would see the same these giant 14 foot hammerheads come down your chum line, and I've never had a tarpon even. I've never had a shark even attempt to eat a tarpon on our coast. Never. You know, and people are always amazed. We get behind those shrimp boats, and they're like, "Oh, there ain't going to be any tarpon in here. All these sharks." And I'm like, "Oh, they get right in there and freaking
mix it up,
you know." And so do the porpoises. You know, people are always like, "Oh, the porpoises in there. There's not going to." I'm like, "Dude, everything out here feeds together. If there's food,
nobody wants to play king out here because they can. They might become the queen.
Yeah,
they're not going to play."
Yeah, but I've always found that interesting, Chip. I've never. I've never lost a tarpon to a shark, but I've never had a shark even attempt to mess with a tarpon. But over there, they're like snacks. I mean,
but they're so majestic. Yeah, those big hammerheads, the way they just cruise around, you know, and just like look at you. I mean, but, they're just great looking.
But Chip, let me ask you this, because we see it when we're kingfishing. These sharks become in tuned with our boats. All right.
So
I know they're just lurking down there waiting for a stupid king mackerel to hit one of our lines, and then as soon as it happens,
you just see a swirl and
they eat them. I'm assuming probably the hammerheads over there on the West Coast have just learned, well, I'll just hang around the boats.
Yeah, there's 100 boats. Why leave?
Yeah.
They're not going to scare me off. Yeah, I mean, just an engine.
I'm going to let that guy pull on him for a little while, and then I'm going to go over there.
And wear him out, and we're going to go get lunch there, Charlie.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I can assume, you know?
Yeah, it's the same way with the shrimp boats. As soon as they hear them or feel them cruising out there before they drop their nets, I'm sure they're following them. You know, and then they get the nets going that are big chum bags. You know, it's impressive how many sharks we have off our coast, especially behind the shrimp boat. It's insane.
Yeah.
But you guys, you know, you say that, and you've done it too, Chip. But even that, catching a bonita by the behind a shrimp boat. When have you ever had a shark attack a bonita when you're reeling them in? I ain't.
I have.
Yeah,
I have had that. I have had that happen. I absolutely have had that happen.
Okay.
Yep.
I'd say a barracuda over top of a shark, but that's just me.
Yeah. No. I've had a meat bonita.
Okay.
Yep. I sure have. I've never had a meat a kingfish or anything like that. You know, on the beach.
On the beach, no.
Have you ever had a shark eat a kingfish?
Uh-uh.
Go offshore. Go 6 miles offshore. They'll right now, yeah, brother.
Put your little toe in the water and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting.
I'll tell you though,
it's
not as bad as it was last year. I mean, I should have said it, but anyhow. Dude,
last year, we couldn't catch a kingfish.
I don't think we could catch a kingfish. I think I would get all of us would get 12, 15, 18 bites in one day, maybe pulled up two.
Yeah.
And most of them came back with no – you had to retie everything.
Yeah. Yeah, you were losing more rigs.
Yeah, you literally had to spool lines and stuff.
What is that big tiger shark you guys have off St. Augustine you call?
Whiskers.
Don't you have
Whiskers.
A big –
That's Whiskers.
Yeah,
That's Whiskers.
That's funny. He's got so many rigs hanging out of his mouth.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine. So, all right, brother.
We see him.
We gotta take a break. Great job.
See you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy. Captain Chip Wingo checking in here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. If you want to give us a call, we got one more small segment to go.
We'll do weather.
10-10. Yeah, we're going to talk about the weather because it's very important.
Very important.
For this Saturday for the old school kingfish. Shootout is going to be, it'll be good.
Gosh, we're going to have fun.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Bo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Faberson with Captain Scott Shank, as usual. All right, so let's look at some sea conditions. Tonight, south 10 to 15, 2 to 3, which I hope that that's correct, because today it was not 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. It was 3 to 5 with occasional 6.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was no joke. Tomorrow, southeast 5 to 10, 2 to 3. The most important one is Friday night, southeast winds 5 to 10, seas 2 to 3. Saturday, east winds 5 to 10, 2 to 3. So, I don't see anything.
What do you think today was? Do you think that storm had that, or you just think?
I have no idea.
Why was it so funky?
I don't know.
Because it was way big. I mean, yesterday was a milk. I understand the ocean changes hourly.
Oh, yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But my point being, when I left that dock, and I know you did too, because you were out there, I went, like,
there's
really?
No wind. There was no wind.
It was like a mill pond. Y'all ran like 50 miles an hour coming home and out yesterday.
Yeah, we did. But it, and
there was no wind this morning.
There was none. I mean, and when I came in, there was no wind.
No.
At 9:30.
No, yeah, at 9:30 for brunch.
Yeah. Yeah, so... No, I'm with you. I the only thing that I could think of is those storms that were offshore of us. That's the only reason I could think. But,
God, they were steep though. Wow.
Oh yeah, it was a tough ride out. It was not.
I was second guessing myself, thinking which way should I go. I mean, should I pull the plug? But where we other been? That's a long run for a 4-hour trip.
Oh, I wasn't going anywhere else. No, I was, and we knew there was. Fish where we were going.
Yeah.
Dude, it was only 6 miles.
Yeah, no.
What, were you
it.
At 19 miles an hour?
Huh? 19? Yeah, that's probably what I was running, 18, 19.
Yeah, shoot. Yeah, take time.
It was actually slower coming home when you're falling down on the backside of those jokers.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what's better. I don't know if it's to hit one or to fall into one.
No, sorry. Give me the falling into one because I got my teeth rattled a couple times.
I agree.
Yeah.
Not to lie to you.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to fishing the tournament.
There's all of us are going to be out there.
Yep.
We're charter captain wise, friend wise. It's just going to be, just
neighbor Joe.
Neighbor Joe.
Yep.
Joe's excited.
Uh-huh.
Just left his house a minute ago. And he's excited. He's all amped up, ready to go. I'm going to do this. He's telling me all he's going to do. I said, good. I don't think he's fished a tournament in probably 20 years.
And Great White.
Oh, David Ballard.
You know who he's fishing with?
Uh-uh.
Goldstein.
Nah, him and Goldstein are fishing it together?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Right, I'd like to be a fly on that T-top.
So it's going to be great. It's going to be great. I can't wait. Folks, make sure you join. I won't be there for the Nimnik Outdoor Show on
Kirk.
Saturday. Neither is Kirk. But it will be, obviously, Loggeman and Captain Chip Wingo will be there. Dr. Quentin White.
Oh, wow.
We'll be there. And then, listen, we're all going to be within phone distance. I mean, so we're not going to be offshore.
You might hear from us.
Yeah, so you'll
get
some.
It's boring. It's beach fishing.
Exactly. you'll get some live updates from all of us and let you know what we're catching or what not. And Schulte's bringing all of his boat cleaning equipment.
Okay.
So while we're bored,
he's going to clean the boat?
Yeah, he's going to be cleaning the boat and stuff. Yeah.
Social distancing? Can we call for takeout?
Folks, we appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the phone calls this evening.
Yep.
Y'all have a great weekend of fishing. See ya.